Turn again in God's Word to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. I want to read again from verse 8 here, these verses which contain the fourth commandment. We have been looking at this, and God willing, this will be our final Lord's Day, looking at the fourth commandment. We'll read again these words from verse 8 down to verse 11. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. For the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Amen. Let's ask for God's help now as we come to the consideration of His truth today. Our Father in heaven, we bless that You've brought us once again to this very point. We are before the Word of the living God, and we recognize, Lord, even as we read Your Word, as we think upon these words that You've breathed from Your very mouth, Lord, this is the Word of the living God. This is what God has spoken. This is what God has given to us, not only for our own salvation, but for our edification in the things of God. And we pray, O Lord, You'll just bless us this day as we turn to Your truth. Speak to every heart. We pray, O God, Thou wouldst rid us of all that is not conducive to the receiving of Thy word. And we pray, O God, that Thy word would enter in and fix itself upon our souls. And Lord, we would be able not only to hear Your word, but also to obey it and to walk in it in these days. So Lord, hear our prayers. Give us help in the preaching of Thy truth. We confess and acknowledge we need Your help, we need Your wisdom, we need Your grace. Especially need the anointing of Your Spirit. Come upon preacher and hear alike. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In our study of the Ten Commandments, we have recently been considering the fourth commandment, which of course is the commandment which relates to the Sabbath day or to the Lord's Day. Now as we previously noted, we should always think upon the Sabbath day in two ways. It is first of all the joy of the Sabbath. The fourth commandment reminds us of this because it says the Lord blessed the Sabbath day. The Lord blessed the Sabbath day. This day is a blessed day. And so God has given it to us for our blessing. Or we can say God has given it to us for our happiness. The Sabbath is a loving and gracious gift from God to mankind. It is that which God has blessed us with for our good and for our blessing. And this is why the Sabbath is called in God's word a delight. It is referred to as a delight. Therefore, we should always look upon the Lord's day as a joyful thing, as a happy thing, as a blessed thing. But then, as well as bring before us the joy of the Sabbath, the fourth commandment also brings us to consider the duty of the Sabbath. This is what we were thinking upon last time. What is actually involved in keeping the Lord's day holy? The commandment tells us that we are to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And this, of course, brings before us a duty. We are to keep something here. We are to do something here. What then is involved in this keeping of the Lord's day holy? As we looked at this subject, we noted that the duty of the Sabbath brings three things into focus. It brings before us the preparation for the Sabbath, then the prohibitions of the Sabbath, and then thirdly, the participation in the Sabbath. In the last Lord's Day, we noted the first two of these things. We considered firstly the preparation for the Sabbath. If we are to keep this day holy, then there is need for physical and spiritual preparation. Oh, this is so vitally important. And of course, the Lord taught the people of Israel this through the manna. They had to prepare for the next day. They had to gather the manna and put that work out of the way in preparation for the Lord's day, for the Sabbath that was coming. Any significant and important event in life needs preparation. Anything that is worth doing in life, anything that is of great relevance in life, always needs preparation. Well, the Sabbath day is the greatest day of the week. It is the holy day. It is the Lord's day. The most significant day. Therefore, it naturally implies there needs to be preparation. But then we also thought not only upon the preparation for the Sabbath, but upon the prohibitions of the Sabbath. And we considered in God's Word those things which God forbids on the Lord's Day. The Bible clearly teaches us the Sabbath day is not a day for worldly things. It is not a day for worldly labor, or worldly language, or worldly leisure. Therefore, we should not defile this holy day with these things. We should not pollute this day, profane this day. By focusing upon worldly things, we should set all these things to the one side and give this holy day over to holy things. And so we have looked upon the preparation for the Sabbath and the prohibitions of the Sabbath. However, today as we return to the subject of the duty of the Sabbath, I want us to consider the third of these three headings that I've mentioned, which is the participation in the Sabbath. What we are really thinking about here is, what are we to actively do on the Lord's Day? How should we occupy our time on the Sabbath day? And this is the thought here. Well, we've thought upon preparation. We've thought upon the things that we shouldn't do. But how should we participate in this day? What should we actually do on the Lord's Day? How should we fill out our time? How should we occupy this day? This, of course, is to get to the very heart of what it is to keep the Sabbath day holy. We need to know how we can rightly fill out the Lord's Day. Paul told God's people in Ephesus in Ephesians 5:15 and 16, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." In this world, we are not to walk as fools, but we are to redeem the time by knowing what the will of God is. Now, of course, this is appropriate for every single day of the week. This is something we need to bear in mind every single day of the week. We shouldn't waste our time any day. We shouldn't live a life that is sinful and give up our time to do that which is not pleasing to God. We are to be wise, knowing what the will of God is every single day. But it is especially appropriate that we know what the will of the Lord is for the Lord's day. We are not to be as fools, wasting away the Sabbath days which God graciously gives us. Instead, we are to be wise and we are to know the will of God for the Lord's day. We are to know how God would have us spend our time on His day. And then we are to walk circumspectly, according to His will, following His truth, obeying His voice. You see, the Lord's day is not just a day for laziness and slothfulness. This is the mistake that many make in regard to the Lord's Day or the Sabbath. They look upon it as a day for sleepiness, a day for idleness. Oh, the Sunday's come around again. I can just sleep it away. Yes, I might come to church on the Lord's Day morning, but the rest of the day, well, I can just put up my feet and just live in a slothful, lazy, sleepy, wasteful way. You don't get me wrong. Sabbath day is a time where we physically rest from the ordinary labors and toils of life. And so physical rest is not only good on the Lord's day, it is necessary. It is a necessary thing if we are to keep this day holy. However, this does not mean that we are to waste the Lord's day away in a sleepy, drowsy manner. Oh, never think that. If that is your thoughts in regard to the Sabbath day, then you're mistaken. And you're badly mistaken. The Word of God tells us our Savior did not spend the Lord's day lying in the tomb. Instead, He rose early on resurrection morning to meet with His people. And this is the example. This is the example that we should follow. Filling out our Sabbaths in a spiritual manner. And not in a sleepy, wasteful manner. How then are we to occupy our time on the Lord's Day? What should we actually be doing on this holy day? Well, our Sabbath day should be marked by two things. Two things should mark out the Lord's Day for God's people. Firstly and primarily, on the Sabbath, we should be engaged in hearty worship. On the Sabbath, we should be engaged in hearty worship. This is so fundamental and so essential in keeping the Sabbath day holy. We must be engaged in hearty, or we could say wholehearted worship. The truth of the Sabbath day is primarily a day for worship is something that is emphasized time and time again throughout the Word of God. At the very beginning of time, one of the first references to worship was the worship of Cain and Abel. And that's right back there in the book of Genesis, in chapter 4. But as we read of the worship of Cain and Abel in Genesis 4, we are told this. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Now notice when, and this is the point I want to make here, when Cain and Abel worshipped, it tells us, and in process of time. Or we could read it, at the appointed time, that is on the Sabbath day, they came to worship. Cain and Abel came to worship the Lord in the process of time, or at the appointed time on the Sabbath day. And here we have the very first reference to worship in Scripture. And what is the very first thing that we learn about it? Well, it took place on the Lord's day, on the Sabbath day. The Old Testament saints, even from the very beginning of time, looked upon the Sabbath day as a day for worship. In the New Testament, and in Luke 4 verse 16, we read of what Christ did on the Sabbath day. This is what it says in Luke 4 16. And he that is Christ came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Notice it speaks about Christ going back to Nazareth where he was brought up. Where he grew up. For 30 years he lived in Nazareth. And there he was. And it says, as his custom was, as his practice was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And so here we see the Savior. This was his practice. The Holy One. The sinless one. He spent his Sabbaths in the place of worship. Then in Acts 20 verse 7, it tells us what the early New Testament Christians did on the Lord's Day. How they spent their Sabbaths. It says in Acts 20 verse 7, and upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Peter preached unto them. And so here we have the church, the disciples, God's people coming together upon the first day of the week to break bread and to hear the preaching of God's word. And this is how the early New Testament Christians spent their Sabbath days in the worship of God. Now all of this teaches us very simply and very clearly. When we think about the Lord's Day, when we think about the Sabbath, the first thought that ought to come into our minds is worship. It's worship. This is a day which is primarily dedicated to the holy business of worshiping our Lord and Savior. This is the very first thing we ought to think about as we come to consider the Sabbath day. This is how we ought to occupy the vast majority of our time on this day. Giving ourselves to worship. Worshiping God with all of our being. This is what this day is primarily for. How should we participate in the Sabbath? Worshiping the Lord. In our study of the Sabbath day, we've already referred to Psalm 92. But turn again to this Psalm, Psalm 92. Notice with me another point here in this wonderful Psalm that brings before us the truth of the Sabbath day. Psalm 92. Notice what it says in the title of the Psalm. Psalm 92, it says in the title, a Psalm or Song for the Sabbath Day. And so this Psalm has got in focus the Lord's Day. It hasn't focused the Sabbath day. But then notice what it says in the opening two verses. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Now note what it says here in verse 2. And keep in mind this psalm is a psalm for the Sabbath day. Talking about worship on the Sabbath. But mention is made in verse 2 of the morning and the evening. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. And this is all in the context of worship. Bring in verse 1 there. Giving thanks unto the Lord. Praising the name of the Lord. This is all the context of worship on the Sabbath day. And it refers to the morning and the evening. What this is really saying is the Sabbath day should be encompassed by worship. This is the thought here, you see. Worship in the morning, worship in the evening. Therefore, this is a day that should be encompassed in worship, surrounded by worship, enveloped by it. This is the whole idea here. And how important it is that we remember this. We are not to neglect the house of God in the Lord's day evening. This is a day for worship. This is what this day is for. I heard recently of one particular minister saying that it was not fitting to go to the Lord's house on the Lord's day evening. What utter nonsense! It's a complete defiance of God's word and God's truth. This day is a day for worship. And this is how we ought to occupy our time on the Sabbath. The Shorter Catechism states we are to spend the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship. The whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship. Never forget, we may neglect to worship on the Sabbath day. We profane this holy day every bit as much as the person who goes to the shops or to their place of work or to some sporting event. That's what we do. When we neglect the worship of God on this, the Lord's day, we profane it every bit as much as the worldling who is out at a sporting event doing their shopping. So this is a day for worship. A day for worship. Let this sink in. Let this sink deep within our hearts. This is the day that God has given to us for worship. Yet we must even go a step further. We must go a step further. You see, to keep the Sabbath day holy, we must not only engage in worship, but we must engage in worship with all of our hearts. We must worship God with all of our beings. This is crucially important as we think about the Sabbath day. You see, being physically in the house of God and attending a place of worship where God is truly worshipped and God is, His truth is preached, is the right and proper thing to do. It is a good thing to do. This is what we ought to do on the Lord's Day. Be in our place in the house of God, gather with God's people, come together at the appointed time. This is what we ought to be. That's right and proper. Nevertheless, we must beware that merely attending a place of worship is not to sanctify the Lord's Day. We must be very cautious of this. Merely attending a place of worship is not to keep the Lord's Day holy. If we are to keep this day holy, we must engage in the worship of our God wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. With all of our being. We must worship God with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind. We are to keep this day holy. Listen to what God said about the worship of Israel in Isaiah 29 verse 13. For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips to honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. Now here were people and they were outwardly worshiping God. To put it in our language today, here were people and they were at their church on a Sunday. They were there and they engaged in the singing of the hymns. They were there and they took part in prayer. They were there and they listened to the sermon. They were very much engaged in outward worship. Here were these people. And outwardly everything looked so grand and good. And yet, it was only outward. They weren't worshiping the Lord with their hearts. Later on in this chapter, God said of these people, woe unto them. woe unto them. Oh, if we are to truly sanctify the Sabbath and keep it holy, then we must worship God with our whole hearts. There must be wholehearted worship. Now, wholehearted worship involves a number of things. And we must consider these things because this is so important in regard to keeping the Sabbath day holy. Wholehearted worship involves rejoicing in our God. It's the first thing. It involves a rejoicing in our God. Think of how David worshipped in Psalm 103, verse 1. He cried out, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." It was evidently the case that David's heart was thrilled by his God. He delighted in the Lord. Therefore, with his whole heart, with his whole being, he rejoiced in his God. He was taken up with God, you see. As he came to the temple to worship God, oh, his heart was thrilled with God and who he was and all about the Lord. To rejoice in God means we rejoice in God's mighty power. We rejoice in his mighty power. He is the Creator. He is the God who rules and reigns in the affairs of men, the all-sovereign one. To rejoice in God means we rejoice not only in his mighty power, but in his marvelous perfections. We delight ourselves in the one who is all holy, all wise, all true, all good, all just. And these things, we're taken up with these things, you see. We don't merely sit in God's house, lifeless and dead and without any thought or without any desire. No, God takes up our attention. He comes into focus. And we rejoice in him. To rejoice in God means we're not only taken up with his mighty power and his marvelous perfections, but also his merciful provisions. What he has done. Oh, as we come to God's house, we are to come with thankfulness. For what God has done, not only in the temporal sense, but also in the spiritual sense. Oh, if our worship, the worship and praise of our heart doesn't flow out of a true thankfulness, then we're not worshiping. As we sing these hymns, do we truly rejoice in the one who is our sacrifice, the one who is our Savior? This is wholehearted worship we're speaking of here. There is a rejoicing in our God. Wholehearted worship involves not only rejoicing in our God, but it also involves a resting in our God. Think of those words in Hebrews 11, verse 6. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Speaking about the worshipper here, he that cometh to God, he that comes to worship the Lord must come by faith. True heart worship, worship that is pleasing to God, is worship that flows from a heart of faith. It flows out of the soul which is resting upon Christ. Oh, it rests upon his work. It rests upon his sacrifice. The true worshipper says, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." And indeed, this is a great motive for them to worship the Lord because of his work for them. And they're resting in this work. They're delighting in this work. This is why they worship. It's not just tradition. It's not just, well, that's what we do on the Sabbath. But it's alive, you see. It's real to them. They're resting in Christ's work. And of course, they're resting in Christ's word. His word is a blessing to them. As they hear it preached, it thrills their soul. And see, this is what is involved in wholehearted worship. A rejoicing in God. A resting in God. There's also a requesting of God. Well, the true worshipper will seek for God's blessing in life. They will have what Christ called a hunger and thirst after righteousness. Sadly, there are many people in our land, and they are content to merely come and go from a place of worship. It is Sunday, and so they put on their Sunday best. And they go to church, and in their hearts they're hoping, well, I hope he doesn't preach too long today. This is what they're thinking. And then they return home feeling, well, they've done their bit. I've been to my church. I've done my bit for my church, and I've turned up, and I'm an all right person because I've been to my church today. Ah, this is not worship. This is not worship. This is not keeping the Sabbath day holy in any shape or form. If we are to sanctify the Lord's day, then there must be a seeking after the Lord in our hearts. A seeking to know Him and to know His blessing in our lives in a fuller and greater way. The seeking after God. I wonder, is this your desire as you're found in this place of worship today? Even as you've come to God's house, do you come with a seeking heart? Oh, that God would speak to me today. Oh, that I would meet with God. Oh, that I might know God's blessing in my life personally. Oh, that my family might know God's blessing. Oh, yes, this is involved in worship. This is real worship. Wholehearted worship. It involves this requesting of God, this seeking of the Lord and His blessing. Nina, can you identify with us today? Have you come to God's house as a seeking soul? Seeking to meet with God and to hear from Him? Wholehearted worship involves not only this rejoicing in our God and resting in our God and requesting of our God. Of course, it also involves our responding to God. It involves responding to His word. In outward worship, there is a hearing of the word of God. But in inward worship, in worship of the heart, there is a heeding of the word of God. You see, this is the difference between real worship, worship that is merely of the lips. There is a heeding of the word of God. Remember the very solemn words found in James 1:22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See what James is saying? Those who merely hear the word and do not do it, they are deceiving themselves. They are deceiving themselves into thinking they're true worshippers of God. But the reality is they're not. They're not. So let me say this. They say this carefully and very sincerely, not in any way rashly. If God's word is not having an impact upon your life, if God's truth is not changing and sanctifying you, then you need to examine very earnestly where you stand spiritually. You need to carefully consider, am I really a worshiper of God? Or am I just pretending? Does God's grace really rule in my heart? Or am I only playing games here in regard to religion? Oh, the true worshiper will respond, you see. The true worshiper always responds to God. Always responds to His word. Always responds to His speaking voice. Remember what Christ said, my sheep hear my voice, and what do? They follow me. That's the true worshiper. They follow Christ. To keep the Sabbath day holy, we must engage in wholehearted worship. Worship that rejoices in God. Worship that rests in God. Worship that requests of God. Worship that responds to God. This is our duty. This is our duty as God's people on the Lord's Day. Remember, we're thinking how we can occupy our Sabbaths. Participating in the Sabbath. This is what it's all about. It's this worship. This is why God has given us this day. Not just to keep up traditions. Not just so that you can come and go from a place of worship and not be changed. But actually so that you might worship the Lord and that your life might be impacted and changed. This is why God has given us the Sabbath. For worship. Which was ultimately for our good and for our blessing. And so on the Sabbath we should be engaged in hearty worship. But then the second thing I want us to note here in regard to occupying our Sabbaths is on the Sabbath we should be engaged in holy works. Not only hearty worship, but also holy works. This is something which I believe is often overlooked as we think of the Lord's Day. And yet it is something which is very clearly brought before us in God's Word. In fact, it is the Lord Jesus Himself who teaches us by His example that we should seek to fill our Sabbath days not only with holy worship, but also with holy works. You see, in the Gospels, we are told of how the Lord Jesus performed a number of miracles on the Sabbath day. We actually read that He performed 7 miracles on the Sabbath. All of these Sabbath day miracles involved the Savior delivering people either from disease or from the devil. And this is important because as Christ performed these miracles, He was actually helping people. He was assisting people who were held in a terrible position. He was relieving people and setting them free from great afflictions. Therefore, these miracles which Christ performed on the Sabbath were something for which He was criticized and condemned by the Jewish leaders. They looked upon this as unnecessary work and labor. And so they attacked the Lord Jesus for breaking the Sabbath by performing miraculous works. They attacked Him for these things. They criticized Him for it. And they said, listen, you're breaking the law. You're profaning the Sabbath. But Christ teaches us to do good on the Sabbath to our fellow men is not to profane the Lord's day. It's the opposite. It is to keep it holy. Showing love and kindness to our neighbor is very much part of a life of holiness. Showing love and kindness to others is very much part of a life of holiness. Did Christ not say that the summary of the second table of the law was to love our neighbor as ourselves? Therefore, showing love and kindness to our fellow man is part of a holy life. And so acts of love and kindness on the Sabbath day are good and acceptable and pleasing in the sight of God. The question, of course, might well be asked, what good works should we then be involved in on the Sabbath day? When you speak about good works on the Sabbath, what good works are you referring to? And indeed, this is a question that we need to ask. For not every good work or a work that would be good on another day wouldn't necessarily be a good work on the Sabbath day. For example, if you had a neighbor who couldn't cut his grass, and you cut his grass on another day of the week, on a Monday or a Wednesday or whatever day, you helped him out. And you help them out, and it would be an act of love and kindness toward them. It would be even a good witness as a Christian. You're helping your neighbor and an opportunity to show kindness and even witness to them of Christ. That would be a good thing on any day of the week, but not on the Sabbath day. Not on the Sabbath day. And so we need to consider what good works should we be involved in on the Sabbath day? Well, the passage we read earlier in Matthew 12 gives us clear guidance in regard to the good works which we should seek to carry out on the Sabbath. Turn back with me to Matthew 12 just for a moment. Matthew 12. And notice with me here in this chapter two ways by which we should seek to work on the Lord's day. Remember again, keep in mind we're thinking about how we need to occupy our time on the Sabbath. First of all, by hearty worship. But then secondly, by holy works. This is how we fill out our days on the Lord's Day. Firstly, Christ teaches us here in the Sabbath day we should work to see sinners saved. It's the first thing we learn. We should work to see sinners saved. See the words of verse 10 to 13 again. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole as the other. Now we see the Lord Jesus comes to the synagogue here. And the Jews are watching. Is he going to heal this man on the Sabbath? Of course, Christ does heal the man. Heals him on the Sabbath day. But before he does, he teaches these people. And he reveals that it is right and proper to do good works on the Sabbath. Now this man with the withered hand is really a picture of the sinner. He's a picture of the sinner. Think of that withered hand. It was in a lifeless state. That was the situation of this hand. It was lifeless. It was powerless. This is the state of the sinner. Dead in trespasses and in sins. Also, as you think of this hand, this withered hand, it was a loathsome thing. It was a terrible problem for this man. A great disability to him. It was a real problem. Yet Christ did not want to leave this poor man in this unhappy state. And so on the Sabbath, he wrought a great work. And he brought deliverance to his life. This man came to experience salvation. The salvation of Christ on the Lord's day. And you see, this was the work that the Savior was involved in. Bringing salvation, bringing deliverance to those that were in a state of misery and affliction. Now, we cannot work miracles. At least I cannot. I don't know about you. But we cannot work miracles on the Sabbath day. This is not something that is possible for us as it was for Christ. But we can still seek to see sinners saved. We can still work and labor that they might come to know Christ and His salvation in their lives. And you see, this is the holy work which we must be very much engaged in the Sabbath day, seeking to see sinners saved. Oh, this is what we must be about on the Lord's day. The salvation of those who are held captive by Satan, those who are afflicted, those in the most miserable, loathsome state. We should seek their salvation, particularly on the Sabbath day. This might involve witnessing to them. It very much involves inviting people to God's house. Very much involves inviting people to God's house. You will know that as I give the announcements each Lord's Day morning, they always encourage you to invite people to God's house on the Lord's Day evening. Now, those words aren't just for the sake of saying them. It isn't just to lengthen out the announcements. This is what we need to be doing. This is how we ought to be spending our Lord's Day afternoons, seeking to get people under the sound of the gospel, seeking souls about this work. This work of inviting people to God's house. And let me encourage you to do this. At the prayer meeting on Tuesday evening over in Limavady, there was one of the brethren over there who was greatly encouraged because he had a son. He had a son who he had been praying for years and inviting him to God's house, regularly inviting him to God's house, speaking to him about coming out to hear the word of God preached. And he would never come. Last Lord's Day evening, he phoned him up. And he said, call and lift me, bring me to God's house. I want to go with you to church. Here was a man who was laboring for years. And his son came out. And I pray that it will be the start of something wonderful in his life. But you see, this is the work that we must be involved in the Sabbath day. Remember, this is the Lord's day. Therefore, we should be about the Lord's work. And the Lord's work is the work of seeking souls. Came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so Christ teaches us we should be about the work of seeing sinners saved on the Lord's day. But we also see in Matthew 12 here that we should spend our Sabbaths working to see the saints strengthened. Working to see the saints strengthened. Notice the words of verse 5 here. Or have ye not read, and this is Christ speaking to the Jews, or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath, and they are blameless? Now the situation here, the context here, was the Lord Jesus was going through the cornfields in the Sabbath day. The Savior and his disciples were obviously busy going about the work of God, and they had no time to eat. And so the disciples were hungry here, and as they were going through the cornfields, they were plucking ears of corn, and they were eating. And by the way, this was something that was perfectly legal. It wasn't stealing. The laws of Israel permitted such a thing to take place. The disciples, therefore, were going along, and they were plucking ears of corn, and they were eating these things. But the Jews came along, and they criticized the disciples. And they said, look at these men. They're working on the Sabbath day. They're harvesting here. And they were accusing the disciples of the Savior about breaking the Sabbath. But notice as Christ defends the disciples. Notice what he says in verse 5 here. He refers to the work of the priests. And there's other things that he says here, but just notice verse 5. He refers to the work that the priests do in the temple. Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Now, as it speaks about profaning the Sabbath here, it speaks about how the priests in the temple work. They work on the Sabbath day. They must offer sacrifices. They must teach the people. They must do the work that is involved in running the temple. And of course, the Sabbath day was the most busy day in the temple. And so in this sense, they were profaning. But Christ says, they're blameless. Even though they're about this work, they're blameless. The reason why the priests worked on the Sabbath was primarily to help and assist God's people. This was the work that they were involved in. The work of helping the people of God. The work of strengthening them, teaching the people, offering sacrifices for them, praying for them. It was all relating to helping the people of God, strengthening them in the things of God. This was the work that they were to do on the Sabbath. They were blameless in carrying out this work. This is a great work that we all should seek to be involved in on the Lord's Day. The work of helping and strengthening our brethren. Seeking to lift up and encourage our brothers and sisters in the things of God. Oh, we should be very much involved in this work on the Lord's Day. This is the day where we're all brought together. The day where we meet. The day where we communicate one with another in fellowship. Not only with God, but also with each other. And so therefore on the Lord's Day we should seek to encourage, strengthen our brethren. On a practical level, this involves many things. And of course I could cite many things if you think about what this involves on a practical level. But it could involve collecting someone for church. Stopping with someone, collecting them for church. Can't go out maybe now. It could be inviting, or it could be visiting those who cannot come to God's house anymore. Shut-ins. Those who are sick. Those who are unwell. Lord's Day afternoon. It would be a profitable thing to go and visit such people. Reading and praying with them. Speaking to them of the things of God. And making their Sabbath a blessed Sabbath. Could be encouraging a discouraged brother and sister. Oh, and yes, you can do so in a practical way. Invite them round to your home. For Christian friendship and fellowship. And you see, that's uplifting to the brother or sister that is discouraged. And these are the things by which we ought to be involved in on the Sabbath day. This is the Lord's Day. Therefore, let us strengthen and encourage the Lord's people. Remember what Paul told God's people in Galatia? In Galatians 6 and 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We should always be striving to do good to our brethren. But this is a work which we should particularly be engaged in on the Lord's Day. Strengthening, encouraging, helping our brethren. Christ rose from the grave on the first Christian Sabbath. He rose from the grave to save his people, to seal their salvation, aye, and lift us up to glory itself. Lift us up to glory. He rose again for our justification, to declare us righteous in the sight of God. Therefore, we should follow Christ's example. And on the Lord's Day, be about the holy work. Not only seeking sinners, but strengthening the saints. This is how we ought to fill our Sabbaths with hearty worship and with holy works. This is the way to make our Sabbaths a delight. Not only to ourselves, but also something which is a delight to God. What a wonderful thing it is. The Sabbath day. What a blessing from God. What a good thing it is. Oh, may it be the case The people give close and careful heed to this very important commandment. This commandment which relates to our happiness. And we will remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. May God be pleased to bless His truth to our hearts for His own name's sake. Amen. Let's just close our time in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Thy day. We thank You, Lord, for this day that has been given to us to worship Thee and to work for Thee. And we pray, O God, that we would be enabled by Your grace and Spirit to rightly keep the Sabbath day holy, to sanctify this day. O God, help us to be a people that use it in a way that is not only pleasing to Thee, but useful and beneficial, not only to ourselves, but also to others. Pray, O bless Your truth to our hearts. Let those that will leave us remember us as we meet around Your table. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.